Episode 5, we're back.
Welcome back.
And we are here to talk about your favourite subject, which is now, Phoebe.
Socials.
Yeah. So I think socials is a really good topic for us to cover in more detail. I think we've touched on it in a few other episodes, but I think we need to just dig a little bit deeper into it. I know we spoke to Kathy at Boundless. She brought up, you know, the social things that they do, the activities, the bits that have gone viral, the bits that haven't. Mm-hmm. And then obviously we spoke to Hannah at Bold Bean, and it's all around, you know, Bold Bean as a brand, what they're doing. But I think, you know, we're the experts. We deal with food and drink brands every day. So let's talk about social media myths and what's actually working in this space right now. What do you think?
First of all, how long have we got? Because I could talk about this probably all day.
Right. So we've just got 35 minutes, Laura. That's right,
okay. Okay. I understand.
But I think let's just share what's working right now, because I think it's really valuable. We get clients come to us all the time who sit in that small to medium sized challenger brand SME space. Mm-hmm. And what's working right now is always the question that we get. So let's start with that.
I think the first main thing I'd say is nothing is working for everyone. So I think that's the really important thing to remember, that just because it works for your competitor doesn't mean it'd work for you. So I think there's no written document that says this is how social media works. So it is a very much a how does
take
it work
it with a pinch
for
of
you?
Salt,
yeah. Take all the tips and advice, but any social strategy that we create won't be the same for each brand. Like, it's always going to be catered to a brand. And I think that's the really important thing with social media, that it's not one size fits all. That's where my main...
I think copycat is where it goes wrong. Mm. Like, when you're looking at what people are doing and you're like, oh, they're doing it well, let's do that.
Let's copy it, yeah.
That's where it also can...
Take inspiration, but don't copy.
So the biggest thing I'm hearing right now is engagement.
Mm-hmm.
Is engagement dead?
No, not at all.
Right. So what is the reality check on engagement? How do you measure engagement? How do you get good engagement? Let's dig into that.
Engagement is... it's basically, the reason that engagement is spoke about more nowadays is because it used to be, how many followers does a brand have? How many followers does an influencer have? And that was the kind of the crux of everything. That was what everyone's goal was. Oh, I want 10K followers. I want 20K followers. Like, I want to be like huge. But actually now people have realized that followers don't actually mean anything. Are those followers of value? And that's where the engagement side of things has become more kind of prevalent. And engagement is kind of if you're getting likes, comments, saves and shares on your post. And it is hard to get comments on, especially on a brand's post. It's hard because what's going to draw people to comment on a product? Because I might follow it, I might like it, but what's going to make me stop and go, oh my God, I need to try that. Oh my God, I love that. And it's getting that kind of new way of thinking about what you're putting on social media to focus on engagement, not just getting people to tap it and move on.
So if I'm a founder of a food and drink brand and I have one person in my team, maybe a marketing exec, a marketing assistant, and I say to them, I'm only bothered about followers. That's the number I'm measuring against. How are you going to convince me that I don't need to look at followers and I need to be measuring engagement instead?
It's quite hard. Like I said before, followers don't matter. And a lot of your numbers don't matter. Obviously, you want your engagement there. But in terms of like from face value, if the likes are high, does that actually mean you're getting anything out of it? Are they actually fully engaged and immersed in your brand?
Yeah.
Or are they just kind of standing on the outside? I feel like when you look more closely at things like comments and stuff,
yeah,
you know that that is someone that is there, they're interested in the brand.
So could we liken that to, and I know we're talking about socials today, but it does liken to your email audience. You might have 60,000 people, but if
who's
only who's clicking and opening, yeah. It's the
same principle.
Are they
falling on like dead inboxes? You just don't know.
So that's how you need to think of it. So if you are a business owner, you need to be going by engagement rate, because they are people that are engaging with your brand. They're warm, which means they're more likely to convert and buy.
Say as well, the real important thing with social media now is a lot of content doesn't just go out to who your followers are. Mm. So for example, TikTok, your followers there, they'll boost your profile and help
you. I feel it's almost like more rare that you've got your, like, coming from a completely not brand perspective, like from a day-to-day use of TikTok, if you're scrolling down, you very rarely actually see the people you follow.
Yeah.
Because there's a whole separate page for it. So TikTok, once you're kind of, once they've pushed it enough, they've done their job to get you watching them, you click follow and you won't see it on your few pages.
But that's where it's kind of that actually you need to care about more than just your followers now. Because again, with, I know Hannah mentioned it in our last episode about the fact that trial reels are a thing now. So you can actually test posting a reel to people who aren't in your audience. So you can do it 24 Love hours that. Before yeah. you post the reel, literally, and Instagram will work out who that will kind of go to, who it works to. And you'll see if it works or if it doesn't. That doesn't mean that if it doesn't work, your content's not going to perform to your own followers, but it's kind of, your goal is always on Instagram to kind of get to the explore page, get further reach and doing
Which
these trial
with
reels.
With our clients, haven't we? And it just completely switches.
So doing the trial reels really helps push that. Well, how can I get my content reaching further than just my follower? So then again, it's Instagram's even giving you features to push your content further than your followers. So I think that's even Instagram trying to tell everyone that, hang on, you need to be thinking about outside of your followers.
Mm-hmm. So what isn't working in social media right now? Because one thing that I see a lot of is, or that I speak to clients a lot about is, you need to post daily to get ahead of the algorithm. Is that still a thing?
If you've got value to post daily and you are 100% happy with your content and you love it, there's nothing saying you can't post it. But if you are posting to tick a box because someone has said you must post daily, your engagement probably going to flop because there's no value. There's nothing, you're not giving your audience
and
anything.
I think it also, there's a fine line of it being quite spammy to an audience, especially if it's not valuable and if it's nothing, if there's nothing there to it. I think that is a really quick way for your audience to become unengaged.
So
because
great...
they're not going to be commenting on every single post. If you're putting out something every day, they're not going to be there. Like,
so that's a really good example, isn't it? So it goes into a little bit into strategy as well, doesn't it?
100%.
So think about your social strategy. And, you know, we put strategies together for our clients. We put together, you know, a lot of social media strategies that cover different formats, different times, different platforms, everything. But when you think about that reactive piece, so us, for example, yesterday, we are now an award-winning digital marketing agency.
Yay to us. I wonder when that would be dropped in.
I am just so utterly proud that we are award-winning. And that's something that I have been working towards and we have been working towards for a really long time. Now, yes, it might be a vanity metric. It might mean nothing. But to us as a team, it's one of our goals, right? Yeah. So that then goes into... we've created a strategy for our social channels. We've already pre-created the content. Oh no, we've got to be reactive. Laura goes into an instant panic because our grid then doesn't look how it should look. It doesn't look aesthetically pleasing. But when you think about the content, the engagement that we had off the back of it, that is pure gold. Mm-hmm. And that is when social media really works.
Yeah. And I think that is the key, that we with social media, you kind of have to be loose with it and understand that a trend, I think that's why it's always, we always find it really funny that we'll create content a month in advance, but with things like TikTok, that's not a thing. You kind of need to be like every week, right, what's trending this week? Because what's trending this week, if I was to say now what is trending, when this comes out in 2 weeks' time, this won't be that won't be trending and it will be a dead trend. And I think that's where social media, you kind of need to, you need to live and breathe it. And I think that's where it sometimes is hard for founders to be like, I'm here to sell my product and make my product. And I love that. Social media is just another thing I have to think about. And that's when it can kind of fall flat for businesses, because that will show in the content if they're just posting as another, oh, I've got to post on social media. Whereas that's why when brands come to us, it kind of takes that weight off, because we're like, we absolutely love it. Like when we get a new social client, I'm like, yay, it's my favorite type of client. Like, I love social media. And I think that's where then I get excited for the results. And that's where then I can then relay it back to businesses and say, like, this is performing really well, and share that excitement. And it helps them understand it a little bit more, because they don't have that excitement for it. They care about when they're getting sales, which
I was going to say, and that goes into, really nicely transitions into, social media doesn't directly impact your bottom line. I say that all the time. I've even been quoted saying it as well. But I think what we know is, and, you know, as we speak to more brands, as, you know, Bold Bean, they were saying, Hannah from Bold Bean, Kathy from Boundless, all talking about, no, it doesn't directly impact my bottom line, but that brand awareness, human personality that I can show through my social channels is pure gold.
And it's something you can't do anywhere else. Like, you can't do that in any other way. As much as you can do, like, show your personality through email, you have to get them there first.
And that's where social comes in.
And that's where social media is so, so valuable. And I think that's the hard thing that people understand. Like, they have to invest in their socials, but directly seeing that return on investment, there isn't one.
Yeah.
You cannot say, I have made X amount of money from posting that post on social media. Like, it's not possible. And I get that that makes it really, really hard to kind of put it into your business plan, because obviously your goal as a business is always going to be to make money. But without social media, especially nowadays, when
you're fighting in such a busy environment.
And also you're trying to inspire people.
Yeah.
That's what you're doing,
and
right?
And as well, like, nowadays, we say it with, especially with restaurants as well. I think that's a really important one, that if I'm going to go to a restaurant, I want to know what it looks like. I want to know what the food looks like. And I want to know more than just what they're posting on their website.
You eat with your eyes.
Yeah, I don't want to just look at what's on their website that's a crafted image that probably doesn't look like that. Like, if you think about McDonald's ads.
Are you getting that?
Yeah. Like, if you think about McDonald's ads, that burger doesn't look like that burger.
And I would go to Instagram.
I think that's the one thing you can kind of rely on with social media, is you know that you're getting real, which is a lot of times when you go to the website, go through an email and stuff, you're not always getting...
But I think that's the thing. Originally, you didn't. Originally, Instagram, like, well, when Instagram started, it was raw, high edited, random filters.
Yeah.
Then it went to, oh, this is a photography app.
Really?
This is polished. Yeah. This is perfect.
Yeah.
And then people got bored of that because they were scrolling and seeing.
And now we had a lockdown in the middle of
that. We had a lockdown and everyone was like, the only thing I can do is scroll Instagram. The only thing I can do is scroll
TikTok.
No
one's got a perfect life in lockdown.
Yeah.
So I think what's really interesting with, and I'm going to use Instagram as an example. So social media, you cannot directly quantify the sales off the back of it. We know that. But you can still be really tactful. 100%. If you are a food and drink brand, if you are a B2B business, whatever business you are, you can still, and I'm going to drop the word, use a funnel. You can still funnel via social media to get people into your business. 100%. So if you are a food and drink brand and you're selling products online, you could use things like, and we've spoken about them before, competitions, data capture competitions. So see the competitions on social, go to a landing page, then sign up with your data, then get into your email marketing database. That's a funnel, right? Mm-hmm. So that's a really simplistic funnel for a consumer brand. If you're a B2B business, you can use things on LinkedIn, on Instagram, where you can get people and give them free content, free recipes, whatever that might be, to get them into a funnel. So I think when you're thinking about social media, it is more than just showing up with content. Mm-hmm. And you might tell me that there's a different arm to that. But I believe that there's more than just showing up and posting. Yeah. I think from a sales perspective, stories are so key for engagement. Mm-hmm. You know, we're a service-based business. And for us to engage with our audience, stories is so critical to what we're doing. We can see.
As well, feel more intentional of like...
They feel real.
Yeah, because it's not something... Like, you feel like someone's there, they're doing it. So
when
you're
pressure because they go within 24 hours.
Yeah, exactly. So when you're viewing through them, you know that there's actually intention and someone's there doing it.
An example of that then. So if we were to do a story, we might ask a poll. We might ask a question. We might try and engage our audience via stories. If we're a food and drink brand, give me an example of how we might use stories
really
to get people.
Example. Seeing what one's their favourite product. Just literally bouncing off of, do you prefer this one or this one? Or... do you prefer to do a recipe or do you prefer to just eat it as it is? And things like that. And just kind of...
I think now we've moved to do stories with intent of engagement. So
not
like...
just a story for the sake of putting a story
it's
out.
It's not just
so
a
important.
Nice picture. Yeah. Like, use all the features that you can of stories.
Yeah. And then obviously you can put links in stories. You can't put links in Instagram posts.
No. So it's a really quick and easy way to get people directly in.
So you can also put a post out that morning and say, like, check out our stories that have an exclusive link in it. Things like that of, like, getting people to follow a journey that then they can go to the website again.
Yeah.
So A Pet Hate is constantly a post saying, click the link in our bio, because I will die on the hill that if you're on social media, you don't want to leave that platform. Unless I'm really, really passionate, like, oh, I want to know, you know, if something's going on here, I want to follow that link. But as a rule of thumb, when you're scrolling, especially for a product...
I wonder how long it'll take before Instagram finally give in.
I don't think they ever will, because they'll never want people to leave their platform.
So I'm going to be a bit controversial.
Yeah.
So Instagram is your shop window.
Yes.
But I've heard people say that it's not your sales funnel, and I really disagree, because it is a vital and critical part of your sales funnel.
It's the brand awareness part of your sales funnel.
Preach. Right there.
The same as if you'd walk past a shop window, that's their step one. But then if you don't have a shop window for an online product, where's your shop window? Unless they're going to your website, but by that point, they're in the store in theory. So if I'm scrolling Instagram and someone shared it on their stories or someone's tagged this product and I'm like, oh, what is it?
It is top of mind.
That is my first step of me meeting that brand.
And if you're a restaurant, obviously you can show your building and all of, you know, you can inspire people to go to your area of the world, if it's a restaurant, a pub, whatever it might
and
be.
It gives community.
Gives community, so absolutely. Important. Yeah, I think what we're saying there is actually, if you're saying it's not part of your sales funnel, you absolutely need to be using it for your sales funnel. Yeah, exactly that. Because it should be part of your sales funnel. Even if you're B2B, B2C, whichever industry you're in, it is step one of brand awareness.
Yeah.
Whether that's Instagram or LinkedIn, I'm talking about both.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. And in reality,
it's, or TikTok.
If you're doing it yourself or regardless, it's free brand awareness. Like you're not paying. It's not an ad. It's not putting it. It is totally free to post a picture on social media.
So we've talked about what's not working. Mm-hmm. Have we missed anything? I don't think we have.
I think if we were to dive into everything, we'd be here all day.
So let's focus on what's working, because that's the gold, right? Mm-hmm. What is working right now in food and drink marketing on social media? Go.
I think the one thing we can both agree on is being real.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
I think people want genuine content. Like, I personally wouldn't go and follow people that I'm not then relating to.
Yeah.
Because I think we're over that. Like, I don't think that there's anything you get from looking down a feed of people's perspective.
So let's take it back. You don't think, but what we're saying is the data.
The data, honestly. Mm. Well, we've tested it.
Yeah.
Most of our brands that we do social media for started off just posting pictures of products.
Yeah.
And it got to the point where it's like, there's only so many ways I can take a picture of this product. Like, it's a lovely product, but it still looks the same no matter what background I have. Whereas actually, what's the story behind this product? Why did this product become this product? Why is this business?
It?
Yeah. How can I use this? What does it look like if I put it there? Or what do real people do with this product? And actually, why is the founder the founder of this business? Like, why did they create it? And that is where we've seen massive, massive turnarounds, especially when it's, I think the best thing is when it's people who didn't have any faith in
their product.
Being the founder, putting their social media, like putting themselves on social media. Why would anyone want to see me? I am a 50-year-old woman who...
And turns out to be the best content.
The best performing content. And I think that just shows, because you're so passionate about your business.
Yeah.
So let your audience know why you're so passionate, because they're going to buy from you.
I was going to say,
people
makes you feel like you're buying from someone directly.
Yeah, it's
because there's
personal.
A face there. Yeah, 100%.
And I think
feel, because like, look at McDonald's, you're not seeing...
That's what I was going to say.
The face of the business.
There's a lot of big brands, and with the challenger brands coming in so hot and heavy, which is amazing, that what puts the challenger brand apart from its direct competitor that's a bigger name?
Yeah.
So, and what puts them apart is that there's passion, there's a real story, there's a real person. So show that.
There's mass budget with these bigger companies. So
but then
that's,
I think that's
why.
That's the difference though, because actually nowadays people are changing the way they shop. And I think it's so important now to pay attention to that. As a rule of thumb, people would rather go to their local kind of farmer's market or their nice shop than they would go to Tesco a lot of the time. Might be more of a treat, but it's more of a luxury experience. People enjoy it. Shopping now is more of an experience than a necessity. And I think especially from COVID and supporting local and all of that kind of action, now people are like, well, how can I buy into a brand that's around the corner from me? Or how can I help this woman who set up this business? And now she's really passionate about it. And now people are like making that more considered purchase, which is where the founder-led content is way more valuable than, I don't know, Coca-Cola's big Christmas campaign.
Yeah.
You expect that, you know that. But if you were to ask me who owns Coca-Cola, I don't know.
No.
But then if there was a small business who do a similar product, probably know who that is.
So that goes really nicely into partnerships, social partnerships. So there's two sides to that, isn't there? Because there's influencers and creators, and then there's brands, so partnerships with brands. So I have a food business or I have a drink business. I want to grow my social following and I want to partner with a brand who has a similar audience to me, their customers are the same type of customer. They might be Kate Williams, she might be in her 30s and might look very similar. So how do I go about that part? How do I set up that partnership? Because I think that's something that we don't often talk about. And I have, you know, I have clients say to me all the time, well, how do we do it? And I'm like, well, it's really easy.
So simple.
So without giving our secrets and tips away too much, Phoebe, how do we do that? Because you head up our partnerships piece, you do that for our clients. So talk us through what that looks like.
I think the most important step from part one is make sure that they align, and like from an outsider perspective, that anything, any partnership you're doing in general is going to work with them. Like you can't be pairing random things because it looks too forced. Like it needs to make sense.
Yeah. Give me an example
cheese and
of
crackers.
That. Yeah, nice.
You're not going to go and get cheese and ketchup.
No.
Well,
maybe. It would be harder. Or cheese and...
And we're cheese lovers as well.
Cheese and cookies. Like, yeah. People are going to just think, what the hell's going on there?
It's kind of too try hard, isn't it?
And then it is literally as simple as just DMing them.
Start a conversation.
It is literally that simple. You can get rejected, but what's going to happen?
It's not that deep.
It's not that deep.
So what if some of these brands are bigger brands and they're monitored by not the decision maker? So if I'm a founder-led brand, which is the majority of our clients, and I make all the decisions, how can I as a founder create a partnership with a brand that's slightly bigger than me? Is it likely that I'm talking to an assistant and an exec, or is it likely that actually I need to email them? Like,
I normally start all conversations through socials, mainly through Instagram. And then off the back of that, whoever's monitoring the channels will then approach you and say, go via email.
Yeah.
Which is the way that we always end up organizing anything anyway.
Yeah.
As always, we come from socials and go into emails just because it's easier. And then often you'll get sent the right direction, whether it's like their marketing, head of marketing or something.
Yeah. Okay, fine.
But yeah, always start on socials.
And I think the other point to mention there is always keep a track of it, because
100%.
You could
get lost in the DMs.
Well, yeah, but you could also do a partnership once and in 2 years' time
it's
always
good to keep them warm.
Build that relationship
Absolutely. Have all the details
there. Okay, so that's partnerships, and we're talking about what is working. So content, this is where, again, clients can get so lost on content. And
it is overwhelming.
It's really overwhelming. And we set up the Food Marketing Club, right? So for everybody that doesn't know, the Food Marketing Club is an online space. So it's a community. We've got a LinkedIn group, and it's where founders can go in, or marketers or leaders, and they can learn. So we have packaged up all of our knowledge on socials, on email, whatever that might be, and we add to it every month. So whether that's live training with me, Laura's started dabbling in some live training as well on socials because she's so passionate about it. So that's live training, resources, and a community. And we set up the Food Marketing Club because I think it's really important that what we're talking about, like today, is shared, because it's industry relevant. It's really useful to founders as well. Like, I think the one thing, you know, founders have said to me since they've been listening to even the podcast, like being here, it's real, it's giving real life insights, and it's so valuable. So inside that Food Marketing Club, we've got social resources in there, all about templates, stories, all of that stuff. And I think as we go on, you know, we're going to start building that out more around social media, because it's such a big topic. I'm a small to medium sized business, and social media isn't directly bringing me in income, but I know it's really important to show up. So we're going to put loads of effort into the Food Marketing Club to get all of our knowledge, as much as we possibly can, in there around socials. So let's wind that back a bit. How would you structure a week of social media content? If I was a founder, what advice would you give me? Because that lends really nicely into how we'll then show that in the Food Marketing Club, right?
I think, well, step one would be, what is your goal with social media? Like, I think it's more than just a week's worth of posting. I think
consistency.
So yeah, what is your goal? Are you going to be consistent? Like, don't just post for a week and then don't post for 3 months.
Post and ghost.
Yeah, don't just post and ghost. But it is a case of, right, what are your goals? So do you want a value post, an education, an entertainment post? And I think the main thing I would say is always remember that social media is a lighthearted, fun platform. Like, don't use it as a hard sales tool. So take off that sales hat and put on that marketing hat. And I think that's where kind of marketing and sales can sometimes clash, because it's like, well, we need sales, but we need to engage. And I think that's my main piece of advice would be, think about content that engages. What do you want to see when you scroll social media? So just strip it back. And originally you started as a consumer before you were a business. You were a consumer of a product or a business.
Yeah.
So what did you want to see? What do you enjoy? What is your form of, like, that's nice content?
So my first steps are
also tailoring that to your audience.
Yeah. Your first steps would be find what you like and also then find your audience.
Yeah.
So do they align? Are you the same as your audience?
And we can find that out. We can work out if you go into Instagram, if you go into TikTok.
Your insights. Yeah, you can see kind of what you're... And again, if you're going through different platforms, they're probably going to be different on each platform. So don't be scared of that.
Yeah.
That's what you want, because then you're reaching people of different ages and different audiences. But step one, find your audience. Step two, settle with your niche. Like, don't try and be something you're not.
Yeah.
And step three, just have fun with it.
Yeah.
That would be my three pieces of advice.
So if I was going to structure it though, what does that look practically, Phoebe? So Laura's given us the steps on, you know, how to go about it. But practically, what does that look like? If I'm about to set up socials, I'm following Laura's steps, what do I do?
What, in terms of like actually creating?
Yeah.
Go on Canva.
Yeah. So
there's so many different ways that you can create content nowadays. And one of the most easy and free options is Canva. I think it's kind of what everyone's using.
Yeah.
But that's not a bad thing, I don't think. I think there's levels of it where you can make it look, you know, too Canva.
Yeah.
Too Canva. But from a perspective of like, if you don't have the ability to actually invest, it's the easiest way forwards. Obviously, there's like video editing software and things you can use, like CapCut, which we use, which is really good. But the best thing about Canva is you don't always have to start from a blank document either. There's so many templates that they have made, that users have made. You can get grids for your Instagram. You can get social posts. You can get stories. And everything will be sized and aligned perfectly for what you want to create.
Yeah. So create the content, i.e. create the visuals. After you've planned it out. So you do strategy step first. So think about what content you want to be doing. Think about your audience. Then you
Looking
go into content
as well. Yeah. I always think it doesn't hurt to
have a scroll.
Yeah, literally.
Have a scroll, honestly.
Honestly, I'd love
it's
to have time to have a scroll.
It's never a waste of time. When you work on socials, you think, oh.
Do you ever get lost in a hole of like scrolling though? I think I would.
I'd be like,
oh, I've just bought an Aura ring.
Yeah.
Because if it was on my own socials, yeah, I'd get lost, because that's my passion.
Yeah.
But whereas if
it's
I'm on a business's, their followers is worlds away from what I would follow. So then I'm like, I'm in that brain.
I also
so
do think as well, from like a bottom line level, if you have only just started your Instagram platform, TikTok platform, you also need to spend time on it, curating
all of
its algorithm to you and to your audience. Because if you've just started a new account, it is not going to have any idea what you like.
Followers will come to me.
You will get all sorts of random stuff, which isn't necessary.
Or you'll get a whole lot of nothing.
Yeah. So it's just, you've got to kind of be there on the platforms.
So I've got a really good example of that, actually. And it did blow my mind how bloody clever it was. So I've just got back from being on holiday in France. I had a really lovely trip, actually, in the mountains. And I did a massive walk, like the biggest walk of my life. That might be a lie, but it was really far.
Biggest walk ever.
Ever to the top of a mountain. And when I got there, I was like looking at my watch. Oh, this many steps. You know, I've done this, blah, blah, blah. My heart rate's this. And I was getting really into it. And we were sat at the table and we were talking about like how to monitor your health and your fitness and, you know, all of that stuff. And I then went on my Instagram and an Instagram story showed up for an Aura ring. So they're the rings.
Your phones listen to you all the time.
Right?
I'm holding my hands up and saying.
100%. So for those rings that go on your finger that track everything. And I've seen them. Wasn't that bothered about them. So it showed a story to me. And then where did I go? I think I must have gone to like Facebook. And it like retargeted me back over to Facebook. Then next minute, a suggested friend comes up on Instagram, follow Aura. And I was like, do you know what? I will. So that's
they
my...
They really want you.
So that's my journey into that brand, right? And then I follow their Instagram and then they're like inspiring me with their content. You need one of these rings because you can see this.
Yeah.
And that was it. I was in a loophole and I was like, I need one. So what did I do? I bought one. And I think that just shows.
I love how we do it even though we're all so aware.
Oh my God, like, we're so aware.
I was so aware. And my husband said to me, do you really need one of those? I was like, yes, I do.
Yeah.
I absolutely do. But I think that's a really good example of how the synergy of omnichannel strategies with social media work really, really well. If you combine ads with organic social media, so paid social media ads and organic social media ads, that is where that magic happens.
Yeah.
So your organic social is there to inspire, to give value, to be, like recipes and all of that founder-led content that we've spoken about before so many times and be those human beings. But if you pair that with paid ads, now Lucy and our team absolutely champions paid ads. She's absolutely fantastic at them and she gets really into that funnel piece. But I think the magic happens when they both work together because 100%. You're inspiring, but you're converting.
Yeah.
And again, we've spoken about this before, the tracking and the attribution of sales. Okay, so I was up a mountain, halfway up a mountain. I then saw a story on Instagram. I didn't buy at that point.
No.
I then went to Facebook. I saw the ad on Facebook, still didn't buy at that point. But then I Googled them and I bought via Google Ads, right? So Google Ads got the attributed sale.
Yeah.
So it could be why social media doesn't get enough glory because it's inspiring. It's, you know, it's not always
also,
getting the sale.
Yeah, you're not, when you're scrolling, you're not always in a position
touching.
to go and buy.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I was not in a position to buy.
Halfway up a mountain, I'm not going to be buying from a Facebook ad.
I have never wanted something so much in my whole entire life. I was like, I need one of these. Like,
you scaled a mountain for it.
You know, and I've got an Apple Watch. Why do I need an Aura ring? Like, well,
so healthy now.
So ridiculous.
You're going to feel so refreshed and well slept.
You just wait till I'm messaging you all about my stress levels. But that is the power, isn't it, of that sort of social media, what's working and how to inspire audience. I think that's a really good example of that. And structuring that content to be, you know, it goes back to if you're a consumer-led brand, if you're a business or a service-based business, the content is totally different. And I think if you are in the B2B world, you might sometimes need to do sales posts on social.
Yeah.
Which
it's a balance. I think just not every post is sales.
But also working out how your sales post cannot feel like
sales,
like cold, hard sales. It's working that balance.
Because we often just gently put it in copy.
Oh, yeah.
Like the post could be not related anything salesy, but it doesn't at the end of a Facebook caption, it doesn't hurt to put a link.
I think that's the battle where we're still kind of educating our clients as well, like, to let go of that. Instagram needs to...
Well, it's understandable. If you're spending money on socials,
exactly.
You want the socials to
exactly.
be giving you money back.
That's what... It's always hard to kind of go, you need to trust us. The fact that your socials need to just feel really natural. It needs to feel like a normal person's account,
and
not
I think you also need to take it one step at a time in the sense of, like, don't try and do everything at once.
No.
Like, if you've got your goals in mind, just kind of focus on one thing at a time.
Don't try and be on every single platform.
No.
At the time.
And I think that's such a good cue. So client campaigns. We love our clients so much, don't we? And we love what we do for them, whether that's being in a cheese dairy. Jumping on a sofa in my pyjamas with popcorn.
It's normal stuff.
Like, it's just normal day-to-day social media life. But one client campaign that's worked really, really well, and I'm not talking that's worked from gut feel, I'm talking about data. Give me an example without naming the client.
Swapping from product-led to behind-the-scenes business product production. Massive.
On which platform?
TikTok. And, well, it started on
now
TikTok.
Instagram.
I'm going to say, it started on TikTok and we saw the massive uplift and thought, this is working. How do we then drip feed this slightly into Instagram and see if it works? Because there's no harm in trying. That's the fun with social media. If it goes wrong, it goes wrong.
Yeah, like
it doesn't. It's not the end of the world.
Really,
your business isn't over. So if a post flops and you go, oh, that didn't work.
Yeah.
But that's actually really important. But
it's
so we drip fed it into Instagram. And now we've actually found that it's taken over and it does better on Instagram than it did on TikTok. So
yeah.
Yeah, it was, but the business before would never have known that. Like when they came to us, it was very much, well, we do it every now and then, but only when we've got time, or
yeah,
we post this, but we are predominantly trying to push this product and we're in this store and we're here.
Yeah.
But actually then we went, well, this is working really well.
And yeah.
Yeah. Okay. It's not getting you sales, but look how many people are commenting. Look,
and they now know about your brand.
They know about it. They want to learn more. And that's then converting them, because they're like, they're deep invested in the process.
Yeah.
Because it's something that you wouldn't necessarily see. I can go into a shop and see a product.
Yeah.
Do I need to go on my social media and see that? Can I walk down the street and see how, you know, XYZ is made? No, I can't. So that's where that niche came in of, well, actually, let's take away like that curtain and let people inside.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that would be my best one that we've done, I think.
And if you put content out, and Phoebe, this is to you, if you put content out and it doesn't necessarily work, what's your best advice on that? Like, how do you correct
in terms
that course?
Of work, do you mean just like engagement?
So
from
like a common thing that Laura says to me, that's gone out and that's flopped. What do we do about that? Do we leave it? Yeah. Do we take it down? What do we do?
Leave it, because it's real.
Yeah.
Like, there's no point removing something. Like, it's not going to harm anyone by it being there. Yeah,
exactly.
There have been a couple of occasions where we've reposted things.
Yeah, and tested
which is completely fine to do.
So a different time.
Everything is a learning curve. Like, you need to understand what time you should be posting, what days you should be posting, when your audience is active. Like, it's not always as simple as, oh, it's 12:30 in the afternoon, I'm going to put up this Instagram post because our audience sat there on Instagram.
Yeah.
They might be.
But they might be. Is it half term? And then
that's
so
the
more
thing.
People are on.
You need to understand,
is it a busy
kind
weekday?
Of,
probably not.
It is more than just posting, obviously, from a start.
Yeah.
Post.
So,
but you need to understand, I think, like,
what the parameters
why,
are.
Yeah. Like, if it has flopped.
Why?
Why is it flopped? Like, when did you post? What day did you post? What was the content? Was it sales?
Also,
where are you trying to get engagement?
Again, like, if it flops, all right.
Yeah,
the next
like
one
is,
might go viral.
It like really isn't the end of the world. And I think because social media is so hard to get to grips with, because the algorithms are all different and they're always changing.
Yep.
That like, if it has flopped, say that there was a TikTok that went out, it might just not have reached. It might just not have got that instant.
So that also goes really nicely in. If we don't get the reach from a post, what tips and tricks would we give food and drink brands to get more reach with their posts if we think the quality of the post is worthwhile, or
I think just like
the call to action is?
Don't take it. Like, take it with a pinch of salt, and don't take it as like a massive slap in the face, because it's not.
Don't pin everything on that one post.
No.
Because you'll have another one, and it might be, it often is the one that you think is a bit meh that actually could be the best performing one, and you'll be
and
like,
and I mean,
what
we can
hell?
Still hold our hands up and say, like, we can't even determine what's going to go well,
because
or what's
we can
not.
Say, like,
because we could post something on TikTok and we're like, oh yeah, this is
we
great.
Love it, yeah.
It's perfect. And it doesn't
like 20 people.
It's not your fault though.
Yeah.
Like,
and then your boss goes, what on earth is the point of that trend? And then I'm like, oh,
I promise it works.
I promise you, it's massive. But I think that's the case, that it just takes social media for as much as it is. It's a really important platform. It's still a fun platform. It's the most fun marketing platform in reality. Like, it's the one where you can just be a little bit silly, a little bit real.
And if you make mistakes,
you
can own up to it.
Also, nowadays, if you make mistakes and you really own it and you rip fun out of yourself, even better.
Yeah.
Because that is the content that then does really well. Like, a lot of
businesses. There's a certain live stream that's coming to
mind. Yeah, I'm going to say. But there's also a thing now that you'll find some social media managers will specifically put typos in posts, because more people will comment on it and more people go, did you not see that massive error? It's like, yes, I did. It was very clever. Look, you've got your commenting. And it's so wrong. I'm sure copywriters are shaking when they see this, because it goes against all rules. And I'm sure, I know if I was to say to you, or if I was to say to a lot of our clients, like, and they're like, there's a typo in that. I'm like, yeah, I know. And
they'd
be like,
not like
what
that.
On earth? There cannot be a typo, but it's that, trust me, that can
work.
That can work, and it does, and there is multiple brands doing it. Yeah, okay, if you did it in every post, people might start thinking, hang on a minute.
Yeah.
But it's that doing certain things that aren't normal and aren't right
for reaction.
Like, on
and
paper,
I also
they're not
think
right.
It does reiterate the real, because
everyone makes mistakes.
Yeah, like it's...
So the only other thing I was thinking was with posting, like boosting.
Mm-hmm.
So we use boosting. We use it for our clients. Mm-hmm. I guess the last point that I want to cover is, does boosting still work? And should brands still be doing it?
I will say the only times we boost and the times we really back a boost is for something big like a giveaway.
Yeah.
Because that is naturally going to get people commenting and engaging. I think that's there's a reason people are going to see it and they're going to be excited. They want to see it. If yeah. it's just, here's a new product, is it boost it, you might just not see the results. Again, yeah. it'll work a bit
I
like
also
an ad.
I think you really have to niche down the audience yeah. that you're targeting with yeah. boosted posts as
yeah,
well.
It's not just a case of doing it and just putting £20 behind it and hoping for the best.
Yeah.
But again, you can't niche it down as much as you would in paid ads. So yeah, yeah, don't yeah. look at a boost and think it's a paid ad and it's the equivalent. Because it's not, you cannot be
yeah, and that it's going to get you loads of followers yeah. and get you loads yeah. of likes.
You
it's...
cannot be fine-tuned with it. But for a giveaway, it's pushing it out to people that are already going to be engaging with that.
Engaging
kind of thing,
with it.
And that's where you can get the value from it. And I would say just be very, very careful with boosting.
So social is a huge platform to talk about. Like we could drill right down into how to do stories, how to do posts on Instagram, how to make a TikTok. Like we could just go on for days and days about it. But like I say, we're going to try and unwrap that more within our food marketing club. So if you haven't heard of it, go and type it in.
Yeah.
It is such a valuable resource that we put so much time and effort into. It's £57 a month. Like, come on. It's so
that's
good.
It. That's a meal out.
Do you know what I mean?
Literally
it's so good.
Nowadays.
You could have a meal out or you could learn how to use Instagram. I mean, what
and
would you
make
like?
Money off the back
yeah,
of it.
There
so
you go.
You don't make money from your meal, do you?
And then you can eat out more than once a month.
Yeah.
There we go.
I know. So that is, you know, a massive focus for us is to just get everything that we're seeing that's working right now into that food marketing club because we get that feeling of feeling stuck on socials. Like
100%.
We hear it all the time. It's overwhelming. It's just something we hear a lot. And I think what we're here to do is to unpick that, to make it feel less scary. But the long and short of it is to get results, right? Because without getting results, there's no point showing up. And it's not actually helping your brand to grow in that online space. So I think that kind of concludes the session on social for now.
As much as we can. A 24-hour podcast.
I do just want to touch on, though, our outfit choices. How on earth...
What do you mean? We're a girl band right now.
How on earth we have all matched today.
I wish it was planned. I wish we could claim
I
that
I told
it was
you
planned.
I was wearing my stripy top and you
yeah,
still got a stripy.
That could have been any stripe.
I didn't know you were wearing stripy and I didn't know Laura's wearing blue, but I mean, we look great, right?
It's so, girl band. It's, I like that I'm sat in the middle tying the team together.
Honestly, we couldn't have written it. No. But hopefully those tips on what's working, what's not working has been really valuable. I think we've given loads of little nuggets of gold that people can use, take away in their business. So I think that concludes our social media episode. And I guess there's only until next time yeah. to say,
like, subscribe, rate, review, follow us, all of those good things. And yeah, please do leave us any comments. Let us know what you're enjoying because it really helps us out and it will help you out because we can give you content that you want.
Yeah, and I think that's a good point, actually. If there's something that you want to see that we haven't covered, tell us, DM us. Comment on
leave a review on yeah. Spotify, Apple, all of the things.
Anything, because we're here to add value and that's yeah. what we want to make sure we're doing. So just let us know if we've not covered something. And that's it.
Yeah. See you next time.
See you next time. Smashed it.